Let me say first a word or two. I never say a word, do I? A word or two about my father. And by the way, I'm fine. I'm grieving. Can you tell? I'm from the Midwest. The Sue said he died yesterday. He was at a hospice, inpatient house in Lexington. He'd been there for 5 days. Fell and broke his hip. And he was moved from assisted living to hospice, inpatient. He was told 12 or 13 years ago that he should be prepared to go on dialysis because his kidneys were close to failure. He said, no, thank you, and lived an active life. He came here a little more than 5 years ago, and we thought he was close to death then. He was put under hospice care and in this assisted living facility, skilled living facility. And he got better. And he graduated from hospice and moved to independent living facility where he met his girlfriend, Betty, and they moved together into a condo. And they lived for 4 years. This spring, they moved from the condo to assisted living, and they worked together for that time. My parents and I had a difficult relationship. We were not close. I'm not sure they liked my choice in profession. Or at least they didn't understand. They gave up church a long time before I took on church. When my mother died, my father reached out to me, and we had 10 years that were a gift. Sometimes it was a gift that did not always fit well, and there were some pains and stresses. But this was one gift that could not be exchanged, even though one had the receipt. He showed me grace and forgiveness, and I did my best to support him. His death was peaceful. It happened after a slow decline in his health. I'm sad that he died, but I'm glad that we could spend our time together. It seems to me that I do have family around the country, his family, but I have family here, and that is a comfort in that, and I appreciate all that you do for us. So, thank you. Gospel lesson is from Matthew. Follow along in your pew Bible, page 783. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observe his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophets, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently with the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may go and pay him homage. When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped at the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They saw and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. In our hearing, our speaking, our living,
in God's word, there is a sound.
Well, as you've surmised, Julie and I are waiting for our own epiphany, the coming of a grandchild. His coming has been foretold by a prophet, our daughter, who by now is ready to move on to bask in the warm glow of motherhood. We haven't told her yet that the time for basking is short. It will be her own epiphany, and we will be the wise teachers who bring questionable gifts. We've already been requested to stop and get Foothills beer of any variety as we drive to Birmingham. That's not a custom gift. Epiphany means revelation. For Christians, the holy day of Epiphany marks the end of the Christmas season. Christmas comes 12 days after the Epiphany comes 12 days after the blessed event of Christmas, before which there's a season of preparation almost as long as pregnancy itself, it seems. Epiphany is a big deal in Roman Catholicism. It's the second most holy day of the year. And it is really a big deal in parts of Spain and Spanish-speaking countries. And for Christians, Epiphany is the name of the liturgical season that follows Christmas. Epiphany ends with the beginning of Lent. So we are in the season of Epiphany, celebrating today the holy day of Epiphany. In the Christmas Eve play, I changed the term three kings into three wise teachers, or I also use professors, and everybody in the Christmas play got one of these signs that they could hold up, and I was going to list the three wise teachers of Schwinnes and Anderson and Ritchie, but I had computer difficulties Christmas Eve, and so I had to draw them. And I have here Professor Einstein, and I have Professor Long here. It's kind of a show. I couldn't draw you properly. There's a statue in Harvard Yard, and on it the inscription states John Harvard, founder, 1638. It's known by the locals as the Statue of the Three Lawns. Harvard was not founded by John Harvard. It was not founded in 1638, and the person in the statue is not the likeness of John Harvard. That's something like today's stories. Like today's story, the wise teachers were not kings, There probably was not three of them. They probably didn't come at Christmas, and because they were men, they probably were not wise. Although I, as a man, I'm a little tired of all the jokes about the wise. Actually, I read that there are only two kings in this story, Herod and Jesus. The first one was great, but was afraid. And the second one was cute and oblivious of the first. The wise teachers were looking for something, following a star that apparently not many else could see. They told Herod a sitting king that his successor had been born. And this is not news that you would want to hear if you are the king and if your plan of succession did not include having a newborn king. Herod acted quickly and with cunning brutality. The event was recalled later in Matthew's gospel as like a time when Israel was taken into captivity. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. That's not a part of the lectionary reading for today, but it's how the story of the wise teachers ends. The good news of the birth of the Messiah. Not necessarily good news for everyone. The wise teachers did figure out what Herod was about, and they moved on. Fortunately, Joseph and Mary got their own message, and they moved on as well. The wise teachers were looking for something. Perhaps they weren't sure what. But they set out to find it. They weren't content to stay home and hear a story about it. They didn't rely on the television news or their news aggregator or the internet or Facebook. They didn't read about it. They went to look for it themselves. This reminds me of a phrase that is used often in liberation theology. The wise teachers read the signs of the times. They read the signs of the times. They paid attention to what was going on around them, and they interpreted those signs for themselves. And the liberation theology is a way of bringing the high holiness of God and the priest and the scripture down to the people. It's a way of saying, don't take my word for it. Look around you. Look at the signs. Think for yourself. It's a phrase that according to the Bible, Jesus didn't exactly say, but he implied it just everywhere through the Gospels, especially when he was asked when he would return. Jesus, when will you return? What will be the sign of your coming? And Jesus' response was, don't be fooled. Read and understand these signs for yourself. Read the signs of the times. The wise teachers were trying to understand those signs. And they acted. Of course, Herod thought he understood the signs. And he acted. too. All politicians think they understand, but what they offer seems to be self-serving and gratuitous. Their interpretations are too often shaped by wealthy donors, political advisors, polling, and followed by an email asking for a donation of $10 by midnight tonight. Jesus wants us to read signs of the times for ourselves. Few of us are really great at this. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, is widely successful. Yet his main advice is invest in what you know. There aren't many great prophets or wise interpreters, but most of us are decent at it. Reading the signs of the times works better in a community like the church. All of us are wise in something. Some of us are wise in two or three things. I, Julie and I, learned from you. Then I guess a part of what we do is to help you, encourage you to read these signs of the times for yourselves and to help you find the courage of your conviction. So, wise people, what are you looking for this year? What are you looking for today? The wise guys sought their truth together, and so should we. And while we're searching, let's be fed. Let's feed one another at this table of Jesus.